Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Blake Topmeyer's the SEC columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. You can follow him on Twitter on X at @BTopmeyer. Download, like, subscribe. You know the drill to his podcast, SEC Football Unfiltered. Blake, can we now say the Ole Miss basketball job is better than the Arkansas job because Chris Beard's staying in Oxford?
Yeah, I don't know if it's better than the Arkansas job. I would say the Arkansas job still is a better job to me, but this does come as a surprise. I would have thought Chris Beard would have had his bags packed to Fayetteville and would be getting announced as the Arkansas coach in a matter of days. So this does surprise me to see that he'll be back at Oxford for year two.
The other thing I was thinking of, I'm pretty sure this is right. I think he signed with Jimmy Sexton. I just always feel like Sexton clients, like it always just gets dramatic. Like, you know what I mean? Like it almost feels like it unfolds like a TV drama. Like, is he going? Yeah. Like, we need an update. I just feel like that always happens.
Well, and the other thing I wonder, like, what other job does Chris Beard think is going to open within the next 12 months that he really wants? Like, I don't see this as an undying pledge of allegiance to Arkansas.
Oh, I think it's entirely likely you're doing it again next year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like a lot of coaches, he's been a job hopper throughout the course of his career. I think he probably still remains in that category. And so, yeah, let's revisit this.
Is that a man who thinks Kentucky might open next year? Has he won enough for them?
Yeah, he feels like a little bit of a reach for Kentucky. We'll see what he does.
I don't think it's about whether he won enough. Kentucky, I think it's more about, like, you know, are you willing? He's not a, you're right, he's not a home run hire, but like, it's more like, are you willing to stomach, ultimately, you know, his background Ole Miss was willing to.
But if Kentucky opens, listen, Nate Oates had not won enough for Kentucky yet.
Yeah.
Now he's got that Final Four. I think, would you agree, Blake, like, that's the training ground? Like, he's now worthy?
Yeah, I wrote a column about that Nate Oates this week. Like, I think if you ask Kentucky fans in this moment, he would be near the top of their wish list. Kentucky's problem with Nate Oates is he's got an $18 million buyout for leaving Alabama in the next 2 years. So, and that would be on top of what even next year for John Calipari would still be a buyout of almost $30 million. So you're paying close to $50 million in buyouts if you're Kentucky to get rid of Cal and to snag Nate Oates, and that's before you've paid anybody any salaries. So, I know fan bases like to think, like, oh, money's never an object, and sometimes it's not. But when you're paying $50 million in buyout money before you've even cut the guy a paycheck, that is a pretty substantial hurdle. Like, Alabama's done a really nice job of protecting its investment in Nate Oates. I mean, an $18 million buyout for leaving, I don't know if I've ever seen a buyout that high in a coaching contract before. Certainly buyouts are high if you fire them, but to leave at $18 million, I don't think I've ever seen that.
I mean, we have the Dabo Alabama clause, but that's like specific to one school, and then college, you know, football jobs are different. I was also thinking about this when you said that. Has anyone ever been in our public consciousness as long as John Calipari, Pari, and we're still not confident in how to say his name?
That's a great point because...
I mean, what? He's been at UMass since, really, what, 92?
I just like to call him Cal at this point, yeah, because he's so deep into his career, and I still don't know whether it's Perry or Pari.
He coached in the city that I grew up in, and I don't know for sure. I think it's Perry, but I'm not positive. Like... Am I going, like, life or death, I'm going to sit there and go, I think it's Perry.
I'm going Coach Cal.
And I think it's Calipari, right? The Italian way would be Calipari, but Calipari, they might have been Americanized over the years.
It's Anglicanized, thank you.
Anglicanized.
I go with Calipari, but I feel not much confidence in that.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Tomato. But, like, this isn't like we learned forever people called Killian Murphy Cillian Murphy. But we learned during this Oscar run, no, it's Killian. Mm. So, like, we know for sure. Cal has been in our public consciousness for literally most of my, like, formative years, life, like, entire. I still am not confident.
Has he ever, surely he's, like, come out and given us a tutorial on this, and I've just missed it, right? Like, but maybe not. Like, maybe he's just fine with people pronouncing it however they want. I don't know.
Maybe he just likes the Cal moniker?
That could be.
Yeah. Where does, what, so is this a, I mean, it looks like Arkansas is now zeroing in on Jerome Tang from Kansas State. I am curious, like, with, you know, Arkansas, Musselman got them to the, I think they were in the Sweet 16 for what, the first time since the championship run back in the 90s. Musselman got them back to the Sweet 16. And, like, it is.
I think Nolan made us.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that the narrative was, when he took them to the Sweet 16 for the first time, it was the first time they'd been to the Sweet 16. Maybe it's the Elite Eight.
Well, he took them to heights. The Elite Eight in back years.
He took them to heights they hadn't been to since the Nolan Richardson run.
So he went championship, runner-up, Sweet 16, and then he made the tournament four more times. But
gotcha. So it's the first Elite Eights
since
the championship runs, or the final four runs and then the championship. And I do wonder where in this NIL world, it seems like it's, as you mentioned, like it, you would think it's a better job than Ole Miss. In this new world where the SEC is expanding, where the Big Ten's expanding, does it change for a program like Arkansas? Is it maybe better? In some ways it might be better because it feels like, you know, there's a push for more, you know, because they need more access for these power conferences to, you know, the postseason, so to speak. I don't know.
Yeah, I think all SEC, for the most part, all SEC and Big Ten jobs now are looking better than ever. And I think that Arkansas job has long been a good one. I think it's still a good one. It's a top 25 job, I think.
Difference is, doesn't it feel like more, like in the past, yes, Kentucky's always cared about basketball, but it felt like Arkansas was one of the few SEC programs in the past that really cared about basketball.
Definitely.
And then you're mentioning, like, Alabama, for instance, seems to care a lot more about basketball now in the way they structured Nate Oates' contract than they did previously. Auburn with Bruce Pearl seems to care more about basketball. Tennessee seems to care more about men's basketball ever since Bruce Pearl got it going there. That's where I think maybe it's changed for Arkansas. It seems like there's more teams in the SEC that care a lot about basketball.
And they're investing, too. I mean, you look at the coaching contracts around the country, the SEC is really the top-paying conference for coaching contracts. I mean, Bill Self is at the top from Kansas in overall pay, just in terms of individuals. But if you look, like, collectively at conference pay, I would say at this point, like, the SEC's kind of second to none when it comes to basketball pay, which has helped them attract good coaches, which is achieving some of the things that you're talking about in elevating basketball in those places. I mean, Auburn fell on its face in the NCAA tournament, but Bruce Pearl's made that place rocking. He's made basketball cool on the plains. That's not an easy task. In terms of, like, smaller venues, it's become one of the more intimidating venues in the country, again, for a venue of that size. Like, and Nate Oates has done kind of the same thing for Alabama. They've made basketball relevant. They made it cool. They made it fun in places where, February was always like a countdown to spring practice in Auburn and Alabama. It's not like that anymore. I do think who you're hiring, who you're investing in has something to do with that. I think the caliber of coach, it's a cliche that gets trotted out a lot and sometimes it's not true, but I think in this case it is. Like, the top end caliber of coach in this conference, I think it's better than it was a decade ago. The bottom end coaches, I don't know if that's true, but I think your top six or seven guys, you've had some good coaches in this conference in the past. Billy Donovan, of course, at the top of the list, but I think the depth of, like, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys deep, I think it's better than it's been, you know, for most of the last 15, 20 years.
We've got an official word in on the pronunciation. Jarvis Greer,
okay.
The legend, has weighed in. And I'm going to take, I feel like this counts, you know, he's on TV for
yes, this
40
is,
years. This counts.
This counts as gospel.
Cal himself says Calipari, as in pair of seagulls, pair of dolls.
So my gut was right.
Yes, Calipari. So if you do a pronunciation guide, like Cala-Perry.
Well, capital Cal, because that's the what pops. It's Calipari.
Yeah.
Like so.
Calipari.
That's what you emphasize.
Calipari.
Yeah, so Calipari. But sorry,
Perry.
Cal would be in all uppercase because that's the syllable that you pronunciate the most.
Yes. So there you go. There's your official diction lesson of the day.
And I'm sure we're going to forget it by the end of the segment.
So you ready for the Super League, the 80 team Super League, Blake? You getting ready to cover it?
Interesting idea. I mean, I think the hurdles are what everybody's talking about. The hurdles are if the networks don't want this and the conferences don't want this, I think these individuals are going to have a really hard time making it happen. I mean, I think it's a worthwhile concept, this idea of, you know, 80 teams in, what are they saying, like 8 divisions, I think, like 10
it's
team
like,
divisions.
Yeah, 7-10 team division, then an 8th, which would be kind of like the group of 5
yeah.
division, where basically each year the 10 best group of 5 teams based on a relegation system.
I call it the don't sue us division.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, I mean, one thing I kind of like about the idea is you would get into, you know, these divisions could kind of function as smaller, like the smaller conferences we grew up on, right? Not the Big Ten that's the size of Europe that's going to stretch from Rutgers to
Keep
to
going. It's bigger than Europe. Way bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, that's one thing I guess I would like about it is if you were smart about these 10-team divisions, it really could be, you know, sort of old school type alignments that preserve a lot of rivalries, that maintain those matchups every year. I think like this is really pipe dream stuff if the networks aren't on board with it. And I think, and I don't know why the networks would be, because really, you know, a lot of the value for the networks is wrapped up in more like 30 to 40 brands. Like if this idea was cut in half to 40 schools, then maybe the networks would be interested. But to have to negotiate on a package for 80 brands, it just feels like it could be, you know, kind of pie in the sky stuff that winds up being mostly a non-starter.
Like, it doesn't offend me, but you know what it really reeked of? It's like, okay, it's Gordon Gee at West Virginia, and it's the Syracuse guy. They're both, like, former Vandy presidents or whatever Vandy's title is. It just reeked of, like, hey, we're vulnerable in this new world. Like, here's our plan, coincidentally, to save us, too. Like, and it's like, okay, I tip my cap. Like, there's some, you know, there's some survival aspect of it that I acknowledge, but it's like until I see the SEC and the Big Ten are involved in this, it's like, moving on.
I'm kind of the same way. Like, I think some people's visceral reaction was like, oh, this is unfair to the other 50 schools that are left behind. Like, no, I mean, I actually think it's pretty fair that the number extends to 80. I mean, it's being more than fair to a lot of schools that probably have no business being in a top division if you're going to pair that FBS level in half. So, yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason why it's not going to happen is it's just too big. I mean, if it was built around the SEC and the Big Ten and not really anybody else, then maybe you'd have something here. But, I mean, again, it's a fun idea, and we could have some fun, like, drawing up these different 10-team divisions. But until we hear from the networks that this is something they're interested in, I mean, rightly or wrongly, the reality is they sort of drive the bus here. They've been driving the bus in what the shape of college football looks like in the last 40 years, and I don't see that stopping now.
Yeah, I believe Dellinger's point, I think he said it today on Twitter, and to me, like, that's, he said that this was, his point was, the fact that the SEC and the Big Ten signed off on the extension or whatever it was with the playoff, where basically, what, it's another 10 years, that basically ended that. And so I was like, okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there was certainly a push to fast-track the playoff extension. And the fact that the Big Ten and the SEC really haven't had a seat at the table in these discussions really don't seem to be real interested in taking a seat at that table.
Right.
Again, it just says to me, like, this is, I'm not going to say it's not impossible that something like this comes to pass, but it feels like a long shot.
Well, this was kind of the other thing that I was discussing with Mark earlier, and I'm curious to know what you think about it. You know how it used to be we would differentiate schools, like, you're either a Nike school, you're an Adidas school, you're an Under Armour school. Do you think we're heading into a world where you're either an ESPN school or a Fox school?
No, I do think that. Or I guess I might put it, I mean, I think you're right with ESPN and Fox, but it's either like you're an ESPN school or a non-ESPN school. Like, I do think NBC and CBS are going to have some place, you know, in the network future of college sports. But, I mean, the big players are obviously ESPN and Fox. But, you know, I think we're seeing that right now. Like, with the SEC, they are ESPN / ABC only. And then you have the Big Ten that is everything but ESPN, right? So, I mean, you're already starting to see those battle lines form. And I wonder how that's going to influence conversation around, you know, at-large playoff bids with ESPN if it remains the exclusive home of the playoff. I mean,
oh, it is ripe for conspiracies, isn't it?
You like to believe that that type of stuff doesn't influence it, but and I'm not even one that... It takes a lot for me to engage with conspiracy theories, but I'm sorry, if there's one network that's got rights to the whole playoff, you can't tell me that at least on a subconscious level, that there's not some pushing.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.